Welcome back to another episode of About Music, The Art of Listening. I'm Brian. We've been exploring the music of the four historical periods, and today I'm going to start a more in-depth look at the music of the Baroque period, that is to say from 1600 to 1750. For the purpose of today's program, it's going to be the nature of a lesson, so you will only benefit if you pay close attention, which I hope you will do. I will be talking about a musical structure called the fugue. Fugues have been written by virtually all composers because it is a fundamental of most educational curriculums and it is a basic requirement of composition. Most of these fugues don't actually survive to be published, but there are well-known composers who wrote fugues. Amongst these are Mendelssohn, Shostakovich, and Hindemith. The name most associated with the fugue is Johann Sebastian Bach, and it is one of his that we will examine in detail today. To start, let me define a few words. Counterpoint is the technique associated with fugues, and essentially it refers to the simultaneous use of different melodic statements or ideas. We describe these separate statements as voices, whether they are played on an instrument or if they are being sung. The four voices usually identified are from the highest to the lowest, soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. Fugues can contain as many separate but simultaneous voices and statements as the composer wants, but three or four are the most common. The main feature of the fugue is the mixing of the statements between the voices, and the main enjoyment for the listener is identifying these melodies and enjoying their appearances and combinations. At the same time as being separate melodies, the simultaneous use also produces harmonies, and these drive the music forward according to standard tonal harmonic conventions. The word fugue or fuga in Italian means to flee, and it depicts the various voices taking turns to present the statements used. There's a mountain of theoretical information in textbooks and on the internet about the fugue, and this technical information is of little interest to you as the listener. What you need to know is that the fugue starts with an exposition in which the statements are exposed or revealed, then a middle section where the composer presents these in various combinations and keys, and a conclusion. I'm going to jump directly into Bach's Fugue No. 21 in B-flat major, from his first book of the 48 Preludes and Fugues. The process that I'm now going to describe is the standard process, so you could use this when listening to any fugue. This particular fugue has three voices, soprano, alto, and bass. Bach opens with the subject statement, all on its own, in the home key, in this case in B-flat major. The soprano voice takes the lead, but any voice could have been the leader. When the soprano has been heard, the next voice, in this case the alto, takes over the statement as an answer, but four notes lower. You might remember from earlier episodes that this is called modulating to the dominant, which is F major. Sometimes this is an identical transposition, sometimes small adaptations are made according to the key structure. Then the third voice, which is the bass, takes the statement back in the home key. Most fugues start with four statements, a subject in the home key, an answer in the dominant key, a repeat of the subject in the home key, and repeat of the answer in the dominant key. As we only have three voices in this fugue, the soprano takes a second opportunity and presents the second answer in the dominant key. Thank you. Okay, this is all very well, but remember that when the alto took over earlier on, the soprano had to find something else to keep busy with, a counter subject. Here it is, followed by the combination of the two voices. Likewise, when the bass took over, the alto had to find something new, so it presents the counter subject that the soprano just used. Here this is, followed by the combination of these two. This now forces the soprano to find yet another counter subject. So now we have three separate melodies all together. When the soprano takes its second opportunity to present an answer, the composer lets the bass have the first counter subject and the alto have the second counter subject. We call this triple counterpoint. If the fugue had four voices, the composer then would have had the choice to present yet another counter subject, the third one, and create four-part counterpoint, or he could simply allow one voice to drop out for a short period of time. When subject, answer have all been heard, from the single voice to the triple counterpoint, we have completed the exposition and all the statements are exposed for the listener. With many composers, that's the end of the matter, and they move on to other material. But with Bach and the others I mentioned earlier, we are going further with the middle and the concluding sections. The middle section consists of statements of the theme and the two counter subjects, alternating between the voices and connected by short episodes in which the composer modulates to different keys for added interest. Here is the first episode, which you will notice uses an idea in the bass which was derived from the subject, by turning the subject upside down. In other words, the notes that went upwards now go downwards and vice versa. So this becomes this. A second voice, the soprano, also uses an idea which is derived from the subject to accompany the first voice, and the remaining voice, the alto, is silent. So here we have two themes. This is double counterpoint. This episode leads us to the key of G minor, in which the subject is found in the alto, and then the answer in the bass in C minor. The other voices take the counter subjects, like this. Follows another episode using the same ideas as the previous episode, but switching the voices around. That episode leads us to an alto C minor answer, and immediately thereafter to the closing section, which has both a soprano subject and an alto answer, with the counter subjects in the other voices. Finally, Bach adds four measures to give us a strong ending in the home key, B-flat major. I will play the whole fugue for you now instead of bits and pieces, and I will make it easier for you by making the appearances of the subject and answers a little louder than the accompaniments. As you listen, please reflect on how with just three pieces of material, namely a subject and two counter-subjects, Bach has created an entire unified composition that is completely satisfactory, even if you don't follow the structure. Often a fugue is preceded by an introductory piece, so this time I will include the introductory piece, which is called a prelude. So, prelude and fugue number 21 of Book 1, by Johann Sebastian Bach. I hope that this lesson is something you will go through again. You will find it in the podcast section as Program 63. and that in future listening you will be able to easily identify a fugue and enjoy it. It's very easy to identify a fugue. Just follow these steps. Listen for an unaccompanied solo melody, then a repeat of that melody with a second melody added. You can be almost positive that the third will follow, and you've just discovered a fugue. Now that you know a bit about the fugue and how to identify it, I'm going to give you opportunity to practice with the first 8 preludes and fugues of Book 1. Remember, each fugue is preceded by a prelude, and after a pause, a theme for a single voice will start the fugue, which will then follow the pattern we already know. Happy listening. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.